Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we are back with an instant reaction podcast to the spring game, the 2024 Miami Hurricanes spring game. We'll dive into it here in a second. First, want to direct people again to canesconnection.com. This is Miami's collective. Promo code 247 gets you 20% off your first month membership there at Canes Connection. Again, the portal is opening up on Tuesday. And it is a important time for the Hurricanes, and that's a big time way you can go support their efforts. Becoming a member at Canes Connection, their membership starts at $25 a month, and then there are different tiers from there. So want to highlight that. Let's get into the spring game here, Gabby. I know, you know, in general, and I think it played out this way, today, in general, spring games are a showcase event for the offense, and that was the case on Saturday, with the offense clearly winning, with the white team beating the orange team 30-14. The white team was led by the first team offense. The orange team was led by the first team defense. Again, these games are set up for the offense to look good. It's pretty vanilla on both sides. But especially on defense, it is very vanilla. And Cam Ward did his thing. According to our unofficial stats at Inside the U, we had Cam Ward going 17 of 26 for 227 yards and 3 touchdowns. He threw a touchdown pass to each one of the first team receivers. So Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George, and Isaiah Horton. And look, I think coming into the game, the number one objective Miami needed to get out of this spring game was to help Cam Ward look good and ball out, and you know, his mission accomplished in that regard. And that's what he's done all spring. This wasn't an aberration in that regard, but it needed to match up with all the buzz that Cam Ward had been generating this spring, and I think he did that. You know, staying at quarterback, look, I think, you know, Reese Poffenbarger had a tough day. You know, I don't think he has looked quite this bad for the majority of the spring, so I'll say that. But it was certainly not a good performance in the spring game. Definitely some concerning throws, some, you know, deer in headlights type of looks at times. So that's just something to, you know, pack away as a checkpoint in the assessment of Reese Poffenbarger. I do think Emery, you know, got off to maybe a little bit of a slow start, Emery Williams, but he got going, got rolling a little bit, led a touchdown drive, I think right before halftime. And Jakari Brown was the fourth quarterback. He led a touchdown drive on his first drive of the game. And then his second drive of the game in the second half, there was just penalties all over on the offensive line. And Trevante Citizen fumbled, and he didn't come into the game. Again, but again, look, Jakari has his strengths and weaknesses. I think his strengths were on display in the spring game, certainly as tantalizing potential. But no doubt, Cam Ward is head and shoulders above that group. And he looks like he's poised to be a star. Other things that stood out to me, Elijah Lofton, really impressive when he gets downhill at running back. First team offensive line had Samson Okunlola at right tackle and Matthew McCoy at left guard. I thought Ray Ray Joseph flashed some with his speed. I thought JoJo Trader flashed some at times. He was elevated in the first half because Jacoby George was in a red non-contact jersey. And so JoJo Trader got a lot of first team reps in the first half because of that. Again, defense to me, this is all set up for the offense to succeed. Lance Guidry's defenses thrive off chaos. So generating creative pressures and getting creative on the back end as well. Those looks weren't happening today. So they weren't necessarily set up to succeed. And, you know, it looked that way at times. I do think it's fair to be critical and say, you know, at times the defense was sloppy with some missed tackles that just can't be allowed. Also some penalties that were silly at times in the first half by the first team defense. Seemed like Reuben Bain was on a bit of a pitch count. He did play, but he, you know, didn't rotate in as much maybe as some of the other starting defensive linemen on the day. They were missing Elijah Alston, the Marshall transfer, and Akeem Mezador and Kiko Maui-Noa as they're dealing with minor deals in terms of injuries or recoveries. Reuben Bain still had a sack, even though he was on a little bit of a pitch count, it looked like. Marquise Lightfoot flashed as a young guy. Mm-hmm. We had him as two sacks and a fumble recovery. And the defense in general came alive in the second half when things went to thudding. Demetrius Freeney had a pick six off of Judd Anderson on a late throw freshman mistake. And, you know, I think Savion Riley should have had a pick on Reese Poffenbarger, threw a bad ball in the middle of the field. Savion Riley just didn't come down with it. So overall, look, atmosphere was good too. Having it on campus, I think, was cool. Miami put it together in short time, and it worked out. I would like to see the program build on this and just make it a thing year over year. Overall, I think it was a real successful day. Gabby, I know I probably touched on most of the points here, but anything you want to share that stood out to you about the game or the atmosphere, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the story of the day was, you know, Cam Ward. I think that's really, you know, what we needed to see. Again, it's kind of it's making sure everything kind of lined up. And, you know, I figured it would, but watching him kind of do all the things that he did, watching him extend plays. He threw a ball to Restrepo on the sideline where he really extended a play and then delivered a strike. Like, just the way that he's able to command that offense and just the way he operates, I think, is really, really big time. David, you rattled off the unofficial stats. This is what ESPN had Cam Ward for. Official, I don't know if it's officially or what the case is, but 19 of 24 for 324 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. So, you know, again, that's the, I think, just another big takeaway, David, and I don't mean to get too ahead of ourselves just in the podcast, but, you know, that's, I think, just if we're talking about the transfer portal and what's upcoming, I mean, I think Miami has something that they can put in front of people, you know, a big offensive target, and say, you have, like, there's a big-time quarterback in Miami. Look at what what he did. And, you know, his spring game, again, I think it's a great opportunity to, again, just promote what Cam Ward is and put some, you know, proof and production in front of it. But, yeah, you know, I thought it was encouraging the way the offense, you know, moved the ball. You talked about Elijah Lofton. I thought, again, when it's time to kind of go, he's impressive, just even fighting through contact. You know, he didn't have any of those spectacular plays that maybe we heard of or saw at times during the spring, but thought he had a strong day. It was good to see him, you know, find all his wide receivers, make good decisions, not really put the ball in trouble's way. You know, Jacoby George made a good play for a touchdown. He found Isaiah Horton for a touchdown. And, you know, again, I just think he did a really good job, Xavier Restrepo too, of just distributing the football and running the offense. Defensively, again, it wasn't a ton, but, you know, I liked some of the stuff we saw from, you know, and some of the starting cornerbacks. Damari Brown was tested against a bigger Elijah Arroyo in coverage. He handled that very, very well. So I think, you know, Damari Brown kind of continuing to come along is a good sign. I thought Wesley Bissain at times showed really good things. You know, I thought he had a strong spring game. He's had a big spring, and I thought he definitely flashed. Again, overall, it was a very, very basic vanilla look defensively, so I'm not going to, of course, criticize that too much. But I thought Marquise Lightfoot, like you mentioned, David, flashing was a big deal. You know, he's someone that's still definitely developing physically. But I thought what he kind of showed today is that, you know, that motor that we heard so much about, you know, at the high school level. So it was good to see Marquise Lightfoot get some real burn today. And, you know, again, I think everything else you touched on, and then the atmosphere I thought was fantastic. You know, I was pretty skeptical about how they were going to make this work on campus, just considering the, you know, lack of, I mean, real space of parking, of, you know, the whole situation. I thought they truthfully blew me away from an operation standpoint. It was awesome. I don't find a reason why Miami shouldn't host a spring game here on campus every year. It was an awesome event. It was ran very smoothly. Credit to those guys. As I was walking out, you know, kind of gave some of those guys some props, and they're just like, wait till next year. It's going to be even better. So, you know, again, like you said, David, they made this happen pretty quickly. But again, I think it was a very, very good atmosphere. I thought it was very cool. Very Miami. It was a beautiful day here in Coral Gables too. So all around, I thought it was a big win, just for how they put all of this together. I thought it was perfect.
All right, another big, you know, the reason why the spring game was held on campus was because of recruiting, and we have a commitment to talk about here, Gabby, with tight end Brock Schott committing to the Hurricanes. He is from Leo High School in Indiana, four-star guy, number 135 overall player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. One of the big-time tight ends in the country this year, one of the top targets for Miami. What do we need to know about this commitment?
Yeah, Miami's getting a big-time athlete. You know, I think he came in to his last most recent Miami visit at over 6'3", 6'3 and a half, around 225 pounds. Miami thinks he could play or eventually play at that 250-pound range. Look, Brock Schott's one of the top two-way players in the country. I mean, he caught for, I think it was in the 600-yard range. And then he had 32 tackles for loss and 19 sacks on defense playing defensive end. No real experience playing defense, just kind of being a better, stronger, faster athlete than a lot of tight ends that, I mean, a lot of offensive tackles that he's working against. So just a guy who's just physical, who's athletic, who I think it's someone that they can kind of play on the line of scrimmage, someone they can kind of flex out and be athletic, you know, as a pass catching tight end. You know, again, they're really excited about just the type of athlete that he is. And, you know, I think that this is, again, just another big win for Miami in the Midwest. You know, they go into Ohio and get, you know, a top, you know, playmaker, a tight end in Luca Gilbert out of a top school in the state of Ohio in Lakota West. They go into Northern Indiana and get Brock Schott, you know, beat Ohio State for both of those guys, beat schools like Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State. Again, it's the region, the Midwest. Miami has such a strong emphasis on that region and, you know, everything that it kind of brings and how much they want to just work in there. So, again, another way that Miami is just kind of wedging their way into a region that's dominated by a lot of those Big Ten programs, Notre Dame and those types of guys. So this is a huge, huge win for the Hurricanes.
And how about just the guys that were on campus for the spring game? Some of the names to know. Want to highlight, too, we got a 60% off deal, annual VIP subscription sale at InsideTheU.com. So in-depth coverage in that regard on the website, InsideTheU.com. Runs you about $43 for a year's worth of coverage. Great time to jump in with the portal opening, etc. But Gabby, who are the key names to know that were on campus for the spring game, and what are some of the early reviews on their visits?
Yeah, so I think some of the top names to know that were here, Solomon Thomas, the Florida State commit, a top 247 interior lineman, number one ranked player at his position nationally. Also had the number two interior lineman in the country, SJ Alofaituli. Out of Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman. Of course, Miami signed Elijah Alofton out of that school last year. So that's definitely a big win for them. They had Nate Marshall. Again, another we're talking about the Midwest. That's one of Chicago's best this cycle. Miami is in a really good spot there. Miami also had Byron Lewis, the top 247 running back on campus as well. I mean, he's a guy that Miami's continuing to work with, you know, against schools like Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, a lot of big time contenders involved. And Miami continues to kind of work in that recruitment. Also, Ty Jackson, a top 247 linebacker. He was on campus. He's a big deal. Myron Charles, top 247 defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte. And Herbert Scroggins, who's an edge out of the Benedictine School, I think in Savannah, Georgia. So another edge target who has an official visit set with Miami. So, you know, coming out of the visit, I think Miami's really moved the needle with Solomon Thomas. I heard the visit went extremely, extremely well. Miami definitely feels like they're right on Florida State's tail. Truthfully, you know, I asked Solomon Thomas if he's kind of just keeping an open mind about his process, and he was quick to say that he is. So I think Miami internally is sort of treating this like a recruitment that's essentially wide open, and he is, of course, committed to Florida State. But I don't think that there is a lack of confidence as far as where Miami's at in that recruitment and their chances to potentially sign Solomon Thomas down the line. So, you know, I would definitely keep a close eye on Miami's standing in that recruitment. SJ Alafatui, Miami leads on the crystal ball. This was his first time on campus. I thought that was a huge win for Miami. They did a really good job of just kind of showing him around. You know, I think Miami having some Polynesian representation on the roster between Francis Mauigoa, Kiko Mauinoa, you know, Joe Salavea on the coaching staff, Logan Sagapolo. I think it definitely creates, you know, a sense of comfort and a place where he knows there's other people from his culture, his background, that he's not going to a totally new place. And I think that that's a big deal and something Miami has going for it too. Nate Marshall sounds to me like Miami's battling Alabama and Michigan, a couple schools like that. So a lot of positives, plenty more to come, plenty more on the site. Again, take advantage of that 60% off promo. Gets you a ton of access to a ton of intel, and we'll have plenty of that coming throughout the weekend. So definitely stay locked into the site for more recruiting coverage.
All right, and again, portal opens on Tuesday. Thought it was Monday, but it is Tuesday that the portal opens. You know, just at this point, it's going to be like just a straight up numbers game. Miami has to get to a certain number by the start of the season. So, you know, don't be surprised from a Miami standpoint if 10 to 15 guys have to leave via the portal. Because, you know, again, the portal is a two-way street. It's talent acquisition. And, you know, look, I think some guys are going to be, you know, asked to leave, or guys will need to explore options elsewhere for the betterment of their careers. You know, to me, just after the spring game, after the spring, I would look at a running back. I would look at a receiver or two, defensive line depth, linebacker depth, defensive back depth. And Gabby touched on it earlier, and he's spot on. You know, the importance of showcasing Cam Ward today, that makes Miami a more attractive school to transfers, because guys want to play with big time quarterbacks, and Cam Ward certainly looked like a big time quarterback during Miami's spring game. So again, Miami's collective, Cane's Connection, is ready to go, poised to have a big time spring portal window. Cane'sConnection.com, promo code 247, go be a member there, and we will be tracking it all on InsideTheU.com. So take advantage of that 60% off deal. So we'll sign off on that. Positive spring game day at the University of Miami. Positive spring, month of spring football in general. And until next time, take care.